Welcome to the IntelliSea podcast with your hosts, Joost Borhout and Emilio Vargas.
Most people are getting into. We did talk about automation some time ago with more standard off-the-shelf stuff. So this should be a little bit more DIY, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand it to be a, like you said, a DIY system that allows you to connect your smart devices. And it's based on Python, correct?
That is true for the Home Assistant, yes. The OpenHAB is a different system. That's been put together, I believe, by Java coding. And I forgot exactly who put it together now. The guy that his name is rather familiar to me, but I forgot. So OpenHAB and Home Assistant are really trying to do a similar thing, and that is to try connect all your connected devices together in the home. And maybe that's something to talk about first, because if you have lights in your home and you have maybe an alarm system and gosh know whatever else you might have, 110 volt sockets that you can turn on or off, maybe a light switch that you can either turn on or off, or you may have an LDR, as they call it, light sensitive switch to look at daylight. You may want to do something with that. The light system that I have is Philips Hue, and Philips Hue only advertises to work with Philips Hue, as no surprise. So you cannot really connect it to something else, but that's, of course, the interest. Why would you not have all these devices connected? It's nice to have an application on your phone that you can use to turn on or off your lights, or maybe a switch from Philips that you can place anywhere and you don't have to really wire anything into it. So that has that sort of convenience. And of course, you can change the colors of the light and all that other good stuff. But then what have you really done? You really want to have, I think, a system that can connect all these things together. Have you ever thought about what you would do with home automation in home, or rather with all the, I should actually say, connected devices inside your home?
Well, one of the things that I've always envisioned is for them to talk to each other in a manner that they could talk to me. So almost like sign language. Mm-hmm. So if something is happening, like let's say in the garage, if I left the garage door open past, I don't know, sundown, then have the light in the kitchen flicker or something to that effect, maybe even get a text message
right to
alert me to that. So that's kind of how I envision it, and it's probably because I'm looking at it from the limited capabilities that they have right now. So this begs the question, on both Home Assistant and OpenHAB, are we looking at the capability to add more function to it, or are we just customizing what it can do to match our lifestyle?
I think that you bring up a host of good questions. So I'm going to go through them a little bit in sequence as you brought them up. The first example that you gave, the garage that gives you a warning at the time that makes sense to you, is a perfect example of what you want and what is actually not capable when you get stuff out of the box. So you could get a switch from maybe a garage vendor or whomever sells you this stuff, a camera or something, looking at the garage door. And the capabilities that you can deploy with that are limited by the person or the company that sells you that particular device. So if you have lights in your kitchen that are automated also, if the garage home automation did not envision that as part of their capability set, then you're limited in being able to do just what they said you would wanted to do with that. And so home automation, this OpenHAB, this home assist is trying to solve that particular problem, to connect all the devices that you have together, whether the original manufacturer had that in mind or not.
Mm, okay.
And so it sort of is the highway of plugging in devices that have outputs, such as switches. You could say they trigger something, they send messages, and devices that have inputs, such as a light. It receives an on-off signal or a brightness signals. And there is all kinds of other devices that aren't really a physical device, such as the time of the day, calendar,
right,
sun coming up, coming down, that sort of thing. So to answer your sort of second question, do you add to the home automation system or not? You don't really add anything to it in that sense. Don't add a new device. But by running these things, you can make combinations and sequences, macros, if you will, that weren't foreseen by the original manufacturers. So in that sense, yes, you do add. And the capability of what you can add is dependent on what particular home automation system you are into, which one are you using. And you have the two sort of different sections. You could have the ones that are off the shelf, where with some software drag and drop, you build your functionality. We talked about that last time, I think a couple of months ago. Stringify is a good option there. And there is, if you don't want to do too much of thinking and programming and sequence building, IFTTT is a great one. Very simple, but yet powerful in a way. And there's OpenCastle. There's all kinds of systems out over there. But if you really want something that does more for you, where you can automate to an extent that you hadn't seen before, then you really need to get OpenHAB. OpenHAB, and it stands for Home Automation. I forgot what the B stands for, actually. It'll come to me later. Or HASS, HASS, which is Home Assist or Home Assistant. OpenHAB is programmed in Java. The second one's programmed in Python. Really doesn't matter to you what they're programmed in, I think. But in this case, perhaps it does to some degree, because these are at the bleeding edge of capabilities. So OpenHAB is somewhat easy to install. You install it on either your spare computer or preferably on a Raspberry Pi. So these systems, so that's the first thing you should think about. There's a requirement having to have a computer that is always on. And right, if you have a big computer, big server running, just for the purposes of home automation, I'd say probably shouldn't do that. If you already have something running, then add it onto it. It's probably okay. If you just want to have something simple and small, the Raspberry Pi for $35 is hard to beat that. It's really a nice little system to get that going there.
Right, right. So you gave me a good understanding then. So, and then you also mentioned bleeding edge. So now you've got the, I just know how to turn on my iPhone person.
Mm-hmm.
I know how to manipulate some basic technology. I'm not afraid of technology. And then I've got the person like yourself who can, you know, rebuild things from the ground up, right?
Right.
The person who is going to benefit from Home Assist and OpenHAB is which one of those three?
I would say it's the one who really doesn't mind programming and getting into the details. So you're number three. I installed HASS, Home Assistant, over the weekend, and I was struggling with it a little bit, in part because the documentation was not complete, where I had assumed certain terms meant certain things and they didn't. The way it was building on my machine was a little bit strange. At least for me, now that I know how it works, it's no longer strange again. But programming it is in the form of little scripts, you could say, that you actually have to write. And I think for anyone who knows how to turn on the phone and doesn't want to get too much deeper into it, this would be a complete turnoff. And I would also say this is a very much wife unapproved thing. It doesn't have a great wife factor, and that sounds derogatory, but it's not what I mean. It really means that if you have another significant other in the home who doesn't like futzing with details, then don't expose that to him or her, because it would be a world of frustration. But for someone who likes to tinker and figure out what's there,
mm-hmm,
this would be great. Both of them in their own right, I would say OpenHAB is a little bit further along than Home Assist. I like Home Assist a little bit better, I think, simply because I like to program in Python, and perhaps I can add a little bit to the community. Not that I foresee myself doing that, and it's also not necessary to get things going. But if you have someone who you'd like to put this in front of and say, here, now you can use your phone pressing these buttons, or something will happen automatically when you leave the house, come back in the house, and it doesn't always work very well, don't do that. just keep to yourself or explain to them that you're just experimenting, because both of these systems, I think, are very much by themselves not smart and automated. They're very smart in a sense, but they don't understand what someone doesn't want to know, right? So you have to specify everything, and that's a little tedious.
So our customers, you know, for our smart water meter tend to be in that middle category where they're not afraid of technology, but they don't want to go in there and break down the guts and rebuild it. So it sounds to me like this is not for them, but you mentioned IFT and a couple other applications. Am I correct in saying that Home Assist and OpenHub is definitely not for our typical users?
Possibly not. I would say it's not good for any typical user, period. Okay. It's just too early. It's bleeding edge. But the reason I'm interested in this, it's not going to stay bleeding edge. I hope that there's a lot of software programmers that are using OpenHAB and Home Assist. I hope that there is going to be fewer software programmers, because software programmers who are using this now, they have a high tolerance for details and fiddling with this thing and another. And if you look at the forums, they go so deep into details that the average person wouldn't be interested in it. So if there's more and more people that can play with it but have not such tolerance for these details, I will hope that that community starts to shift to something that becomes more and more manageable by the average Joe, so to say. And I think that's important that systems like these are beginning that route, because I do not believe that the systems that are similar to IFT and Stringify are going to go down. I don't think they will be adding more capabilities that significantly adds this type of connectivity. I don't see them do that. They are happy, cheerful, go lucky type systems that give you something to add to your home. And it's great stuff. And for many people, this might be enough. But if you really want to see what you could do with home integration, with an automated home, these two systems, I think, will get there. And I just hope they will get there in a way that allows people to actually, normal people like you and me, because I have a tolerance for detail, but I don't want to get too much dragged down into those details either. So like normal people can, I hope they will get normal people interested in these systems and capable of handling that.
So you started to go down your crystal ball. So I'm going to ask you to really look into that crystal ball. What would make these more mainstream? Because the way you described them, they seem to be very powerful. Mm-hmm. In terms of really connecting, and I'm going to play on words here, connecting those connected devices.
Yeah, yeah.
That home automation, so that they're not only talking to the user, but they're also kind of talking to each other.
Right.
What would be the key to that? Is that just a simple user interface that I can use, or is it something else?
It probably is a combination of factors. The first thing that I noticed in Home Assist, and I may have skipped it in OpenHAB, it may be there as well, was a mode of discovery of the sensors. Now, I had to program something. I had to turn it on, so to say. It wasn't working at first. I didn't quite understand that. But later on, when I gave it some time after I installed it, it started discovering what devices were on my network. It didn't discover everything. It discovered my Philips lights. And it saw that I had so many lights connected, and it even discovered the names of the lights. And as soon as it had discovered it, it had a bunch of switches and I could turn them on or off, and lo and behold, it was all working.
Wow.
Didn't discover Nest, because Nest required some setup on the Nest account, a little bit of a strange one. So I think the very first thing that needs to happen is that sensors must become discoverable. I say sensors, but devices, all these home automation devices must become discoverable through some sort of protocol, preferably a common protocol. Because a lot of the work that went into both of these systems is to add sensors and devices and event-driven controls and whatever else to these systems. If I look now at Home Assist, there's 829 systems, devices of sorts, supported by this Home Assistant application. And I think OpenHAB has a very similar number. So it's very impressive. But think about it. That's one dedicated programmer who went into somebody's API, application programmer's interface, and started coding to make these 829 devices happening. I think that's crazy. I think all these things should have preferably a common interface that they adhere to so they're discoverable. But right now, everyone wants to hold onto their little territory. So that's one thing. The other thing is, once they are discovered, you got them in your system, you then, in both of them, need to start, quote unquote, programming them. Now, that sounds like a big job, like you have to have a compiler and knowledge of formal languages, and this isn't the case. Mm-hmm. It's more like a script. You have to tell what's the sequence of things that you want to have happening. And it's possible to do this by mere mortals like you and I, but there is some detail to it, and sometimes it's a little bit annoying detail. I found, for example, with Home Assist, when I was programming it or putting a script together, that it didn't accept my first script simply because I had forgotten the space between two words. It was separated, two words were separated by a colon. For me, that was enough of a separation, but it needed a space. I think that's a little silly. That kind of stuff that is annoying, too detail-oriented. So my second point would be that programming of the script and the sequence, that must become intuitive, preferably some sort of drag and drop, maybe from a template where you say, I want to have a calendar activity on weekends that is different than weekdays, whatever it is. Maybe you turn on the fireplace or so, if you have a fireplace that could turn on automatically. And if you want to do that, you would just drag and drop the fireplace automation template. Maybe somebody else had put that together and the details done by somebody else. And then you can perhaps make some modifications that are easy for someone to understand. I think that's what it would take. And I think then it will start to take off. And I see the complexity and capability of all that appears to be built into these two systems that we're talking about. I don't think that IFT, for example, or Stringify, or Wink, or some of the other systems there want to go that way. They want to stay on that high level, that simpler, more simpler level.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, and it seems to me like right now that the acceptance and the growth of smart home devices is on the rise, and is going to continue to go on that upward climb. What I see from a consumer standpoint is that it's going to be a little cumbersome for them to do things. And I think these products could possibly solve that cumbersome of having to exit one app to go to the next app. Right. So you get this message from that, and then you start getting that information overload that, A, you kind of want to know, but there was something that could kind of really automate the follow-on action, whatever it would be. If at midnight the garage door is open and I'm always home by midnight, you know, close it for me. And it's not such a big deal, because if it just so happened that I left it open on the way out for a good time, I'll just open it when I get back. Yeah. But having all this continual sending of information and these remote controls by virtue of app, I could see this Home Assistant and OpenHAB being a good solution for that.
Yeah, I agree. But you hit on something else that is almost the interface by which you program. You mentioned it before in this podcast and others as well, that you'd like to be able to talk to your home, if you will. In this case, your home automation system. And I think that's the way to go. Maybe initially it would be okay for people to sort of drag and drop their functionality, their sequence together. But then the continual interaction through drag and drop would become old very, very quickly. So if you have to maintain your home automation system continually by means of computer, who in the world is going to do that other than software programmers? You'd like to be able to talk to your system and make modifications. That's why it's exactly, I think, where it's going to be. And then, of course, you could say, well, that's never going to happen. But talk about Amazon's interface, Alexa, and there's Google, and supposedly Apple may come around with the HomePod device that can add some voice to the home.
Right.
If that can get connected into these systems, and I don't know exactly what would be the way forward. I can see how they can connect into OpenHAB or Home Assist. But in reality, let's pick Google's Alexa for a moment. In reality, Google Alexa should be the home automation system. Why have yet another interface to connect to? And I think it would be really nice if that were to be the case with Alexa. I have a feeling, though, that Amazon will always keep stuff close to its chest and not be truly open to what it is capable of doing. They do have an API that you can program into, and there's lots of programmers who are doing that. There's lots of applications who are doing that. But I, for one, would not want to have a Amazon house or a Google house or even an Apple house. I trust Apple a little bit more in that respect, but that's why I have a standalone system that is open source, whereby lots of programmers can actually take a look at what the source code looks like and do the security aspects of this, so to say, making sure that you don't have some nefarious application running that does God knows what with your home. I would favor that above anything else. So that's very interesting to see how this will develop in the next couple of years. Amazon is pushing extremely hard and therefore bringing Google with it. Apple is lagging, in my opinion, at this moment, but hopefully they will add to the competition. I think it looks very complex at the moment, what you can or what must still happen in the home automation atmosphere, but it may go very fast. I say this sort of hopefully because I like this. It's very interesting to see what you can do. When I was prepping for this podcast, I thought, well, what are some of the things that I haven't done, but I would love to do with a home automation system? And I stumbled across this Google Calendar sensor, if you will, the integration into the Home Assistant. And I started brainstorming, what could you do with a calendar? You can, of course, do, let's say, turn a light on if you want to get the trash out. And so let's say you have a light in your son's room and the light starts flashing on, in my case, Tuesday night, because following that I have to have trash out. So I don't have to tell him that the trash needs to get out. Or I'd like to bike on Friday mornings, but there's rain coming, so there's a light going, or there's a siren coming. There could be some sort of alarming that you may have set up. But one of the things that I've very simple thing that I forget all the time is to clean the filter in the HVAC. Now, I have it in my calendar. I mean, I have it in my calendar. It's a reminder sitting right there. But that's in my pocket when I'm behind my desk. And then I have to go downstairs. And when I'm downstairs, I'm not looking at the pocket calendar anymore. I'm out the door. What would be so great is if you have a little LED or some light that is flashing because you haven't changed the HVAC filter yet. While you walk past it, then you would say, oh, wait, only a minute, done.
Right.
So stuff like that is very interesting. You could, with a calendar, determine what are the tasks and the things you do on Saturday, Sundays versus the rest of the week. Maybe there's a game that you have to, like my son plays water polo. Maybe my son needs to play water polo at 12. Well, who on Saturday is watching their calendar continuously? I don't. I'm in a different mindset. So I'm going to go leave the house late. And even if I leave it on time, maybe there is some sort of soccer play going on that I have to go past on the highway and it's lots of traffic. So what would be great if I have a home automation that says you need to be at 12 o'clock in Coronado Island and this is the route you travel. There is a game going, you should better leave it 50 minutes prior to time. So light goes off or some sound plays. That would be really interesting.
Yeah.
Not necessarily does it have to go through your home automation as such. Perhaps it could also be part of your iPhone. I don't really know, but that's the stuff that is interesting to figure out.
Thank you for listening to our IntelliSee podcast. Until next time.